the building, and it was a packed house, and some people were starting to get really, really agitated, and a couple people made actually things that would, you could easily call threats.
Well, I'm going to go get my gun and come back and take care of that.
That would be one of them.
So it just so happened that Kevin Kinney was there, and so Kevin just sort of got out of the back and kind of walked around the side.
Kevin in shirt tie? No, he
was wearing his farm clothes.
Okay.
But he had his sidearm. And he kind of came around, he just stood where you could kind of see that he had it, you know, and he was just kind of, you know, acting like the bouncer a little bit. And after the meeting, I said, that was really good that Lonnie sent you over. And he goes, Lonnie didn't send me over. I was here to complain about the same thing as everybody else. I just thought you guys needed a little help.
Thank you.
He played that role.
He still used words like grazie and
he's a
shaking
big guy.
Certain things like grazie and like certain Italian
buongiorno.
Words. Buongiorno, yeah. There's just certain those little ones like that just stick with you for a while.
But you know, you don't need to know Italian. They all speak English.
Oh, they all speak English.
The only town it started to be a problem was Lucca. And if one person doesn't speak it, someone else does.
No, we just did. Of course, we just did. But yesterday.
We were in Italy.
Bing.com yesterday, they do a little picture, and yesterday they did Hanya, which was the place we stayed in Greece.
Oh, wow.
Oh, neat.
And it was just like, I saw this picture, and I'm like, hey, come here, you know, so we went and, yeah, take a look sometime. There's a place called Chania, but just a cool little city. It looks like, it's based like on how Rome and also Sicily, Venice.
I love this little town.
There's these little alleys and so cool.
My Outlook is not working, but my internet is. So I'm not sure if anybody else has that issue.
I just rebooted and I'm fine. But I have to reboot.
I will find out in a second.
But I'm plugged in too. Are you plugged in?
I'm hardwired.
Yeah.
I'm not plugged in the power, but...
Yeah, and that's what I meant. I'm hardwired. So it did come up.
Did Mike... He's not for this, right?
I'm assuming not. Yeah.
Call to order the work session with the Johns County Board of Supervisors for October 2015. That'd be the 1:30 p.m. session. First time is employee request for exception to policy regarding changes in benefit enrollment. We have Laura with us for the discussion on this item.
On September 21st,
Laura Stromick, HR director.
I probably should have said that, I guess. So used to.
On the 21st of September, the board received an email requesting an exception to the policy and a vote to add a newborn onto our policy. The current policy is newborns need to be added within 60 days of the date of the birth. And this particular request was originally brought forth 77 days post-birth. And in looking at that originally, I communicated that it was state law, which it was, but I didn't realize at that time, as a self-funded plan, we can also change that.
It changed what?
We can change the 60 days.
Okay.
So an option available to the board would be to change the current 60-day policy to another time period. If we change, for example, to 90 days and made retroactive, or it can be changed into in the future. But it has to be at least 60 days for the state law.
So, Laura, then I have a question. I think there's a couple things going on here. I want our policy to be the best that our policy can be. And so whatever time frame that is, I want to, you know, I want to have the best one. I think we could have a lot of scenarios where, for whatever reason, a person didn't act, and I think it would still be, I'm not saying this very well. I think this circumstance, it might make sense for us to make an exception. I still want to hear more about what you have to say about that, but that's where I'm kind of leaning. However, I don't know if changing the policy is what I actually wanted to do or the right thing to do. And I wonder if it's not just the individual circumstances. I don't want to open up a whole bunch of cans of worms. Does that make sense?
Another option is to make an exception to the policy.
Okay.
However, there you, of course, run the risk of discrimination. You have to take a look at, you know, what we've done in the past, in the future, and...
So I had the opportunity, Pat and I had a liaison with Laura, and we talked about this last week, and if you want to argue for 90 days, that's fine, but I see an exception here is not precedent setting, and I'll tell you why. And if I've got something wrong, tell me. But the employee's spouse is already on our family policy, and the other children in the family are already on our family policy. And to me, that is the exception here is, I'm not saying that the employee didn't have an obligation to report the child, but I can see where that gets overlooked more than it's a complete change. And so if we go down the route of an exception to policy, in my perspective, it's because the person who had the baby, who birthed the baby, the birth mother, is already on our policy. So it makes sense to me that the assumption would be made that whatever comes out of her is on our policy too. It, particularly when the kids are already, the rest of the family are already on the policy. I get the employee made a mistake, should have got in here within 60 days, but I'll tell you what I don't want to do, and is I don't want an infant to suffer and not have insurance for 6 months because of this. And I think this is a way different situation than you adopted a child or your spouse decided that you all decided that your spouse should be on the county insurance and it's a whole brand new family policy. I mean, I can see where it's overlooked in this case where the birth mother's on the policy and the other children are already on a family policy. And to forget to put the newborn on seems to me to be more of an oversight than malicious of, well, something happened and now we want the kid to have insurance. Well, I mean, if someone got married or they adopted or they decided to go from a single plan to a family plan, I consider that different than this circumstance.
You could see where a person could try to manipulate this, where they would say, we're husband and wife. We're going to try to get by with you not needing insurance. We're not going to pay for it until we start to think you're going to have a bill, and then we'll get you enrolled.
Right.
And so, I mean, obviously, we don't want to ever allow that situation to happen where people are trying to game our insurance by coming on and off. But when they're already paying for a family plan, whether or not the family expanded by a kid or not, is they're still paying the same amount.
One of the things that I do actually think that if we make a change here, that we need to create some kind of consistency here beyond that. Getting into that little bit of that, not just a 2 months or 3 months, but if there's a feeling of 6 months or something that says we really don't want one of our employees' children not covered, basically because they forgot to do something, and should we make some kind of an exception to that? If we do that for one, I think we should do it for all. And with that being said, the question is what are we allowed to do under our current agreement with the insurance carrier? And then if we do make this change, 6 months, 3 months, 9 months, 1 year for newborns, I mean, that kind of...
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And to me, if the employee wasn't already on family insurance, I'd have a different opinion here.
Because there is no extra...
There's no extra...
quote-unquote cost of paying for it from the employer or the employee, right?
Yeah, because it's the change in status. There's no change in status here. The employee is still paying in this same dollar amount, whether I can't... And it doesn't really matter because this is... I want to be careful here. It's not about the employee. It's about the circumstance. But if... Are there two or three other children? I can't remember the answer to that.
Three total.
Two other ones. So two other ones, a spouse, they're already paying family insurance. So whether we add a third child or not, it's not going to cost the employee anymore. It's the lack of change in status here that makes me more interested in an exception to policy than changing the policy. If it was a change in status, you should remember to come in. I mean, you can't just automatically assume your family is going to be covered. But the wife is covered. She has a child. These other two children are already on it. I can see where you would forget that. And what I don't want to do is say to, you know, an employee, tough, your kid's out of luck for 6 months until open enrollment starts again. The lack of change of status from single to family is what makes this more interesting to me to make a change, you know, an exception to policy than change policy.
That's how I feel too.
Because it isn't involving a change, that's why Walmart actually has an abbreviated process to get the child on. And that's the process that the second child was added on. But the first one was already here and was not born onto the policy.
Yeah, you know, initially when we talked about this, I was in favor of extending it to the 90 days, but that doesn't mean somebody wouldn't come in 91 days when they forget it. I'm a little different than Janelle. I just feel that if a baby is born, or even if you make an adoption, that child should be allowed on our policy. Now, whether that be if it's a late request, they overlook allowing that person on, I think that person should be allowed on as well. And I don't know if we have any out there now that are not on the policy that probably should be as well. But I'm more inclined to do the exception and make it for the others if we have that situation.
From if they don't have a change in status?
Yeah.
I mean, if you went out and had a baby or and weren't paying family insurance in, you know, 4 months from here said, oh, by the way, you were supposed to cover my kid, and you never were paying family insurance, or you adopted. Let's say you adopt. But to me, it's the lack of change of status that's here. Having said that, the employee, it's in the handbook. I mean, I get all that. But what I don't want is the infant to suffer here.
Well, and I don't want people to try to game the system like that. Because, like, so me, for example, I have three kids. They're not on the county policy. If for some reason, you know, we're looking at my wife's policy and we're getting close to our out-of-pocket or something, for me to then say, well, let's go ahead and put them on, you know, county now. I haven't been paying. I mean, that's not fair to all the people who are paying in. Right. To the pool. We should have to wait until there's either been a change of some kind or the end of the year.
And there are limits to how much Walmart can go back.
Yeah.
Because it has to be incurred in 12 and paid in 18.
So I really don't want to change the policy unless for some reason you say there's an important reason to do it, and I'm really not hearing that. What I really want to do is just make the exception here. Basically, because like Janelle said, the circumstances make it so that there's clearly no gaming the system. And
I understand that, but at the same time, I'm thinking if I've got a family and I've got insurance elsewhere, university, somewhere else, wherever it may be, and my wife loses her job where they were covered, I should be allowed to put them on our
policy. That's a qualifying
event. But I don't think I want to wait until another round.
You don't have to. That's a qualifying event.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
So use your example. The kids are covered under Melissa's insurance.
Yeah.
If Melissa loses her job for whatever reason, doesn't matter what the reason, how many days does Ron have to change? 31 days to change to a family insurance and cover them.
It's involuntary loss of coverage. Yeah. And birth also used to be 31 days until 2006, when they changed the law to make it 60 days.
Well, you can understand that sometimes a birth is complicated enough that, you know, you're still in the hospital.
That's probably 31 days later. Days, so. I don't know. I'm interested in making an exception to policy because the status of the employee from single to family didn't change. And then saying, we need to re-educate, which I'm not pointing any fingers. It's nothing. Nobody's done anything wrong. But it's like one of those things we constantly have to remind everyone of what the timelines are, you know?
Well, actually, I mean, Adam did do something wrong. And he's
no, I meant HR for
that. Yeah. HR's just following the rules.
Right. I mean, HR didn't do anything wrong by not, you know, sending out an email every month saying, by the way, you only have 31 days or 60 days in these circumstances. Yeah. And but we use it as an opportunity. I mean, to me, it's an exception of policy because the status didn't change. And I get that there's an outward limit on that. So, I mean, what you're saying is Walmart couldn't go back beyond a certain period of time.
Right.
But in this case, it's within that period of time. It was an honest mistake. I don't want to see the kids suffer. It seems like an exception to policy to me and a good time to remind everybody about the rules.
And there are some checks in place from Walmart's, you know, standpoint, too, because as soon as they received a claim and found out that the child wasn't covered, you know, a letter was sent out. And so that communication is in place that way. I mean, we didn't know about it in human resources, but our third-party administrator did.
You're welcome to speak, but if you do, you're going to be on the record, and I've been using employee for a reason. If you speak, you'll have to tell you who you are and everything. It's fine to do that.
I have no problem speaking, but I can...
You need to come up and identify yourself at the mic then for the auditor.
Sure. Adam Herrig, H-E-R-R-I-G, Johnson County employee. I can provide a little bit of insight on that Wellmark notifying. I don't... Laura said that they had not notified the county. That I was attempting to make a claim?
No.
Okay.
Which they normally don't.
Okay, and I can understand that. I can say that we did not receive any sort of notification from Wellmark in terms of a letter or a phone call or anything that would have said, hey, you're trying to make a claim on an insured subject who was not covered. In fact, if the board would hear it, I would talk a little bit more extensively about that and how my ignorance sort of spiraled into where we are today. After speaking with Mercy Hospital for a couple of times, I eventually found out that the hospital attempted to bill my wife's insurance. And their insurance has a 31-day window. At least that's what my wife relayed to me. And Laura's kind of saying that state law is 60 days now.
Regardless,
Mercy said that my wife's insurance company did not spit the claim back to them as rejected until September. It would have been sometime early to mid-September. So they didn't reject the claim until well after the window was closed, and then Mercy turned around and sent us a letter, which we got the next day, and that's where this all started. So we never received any communication from my wife's insurance, from Wellmark, from the pediatrics doctor's office where we had multiple visits, or from Mercy Hospital. No one called us or sent us a letter to say, hey, you're trying to make a claim that is not covered, and which is, in my opinion, the unfortunate thing here, because no one's going to willfully choose to not enroll their child in an insurance plan that they're already paying for. It just kind of seems with those things in light that it was sort of doomed to fail from the start, because if you're holding on to that claim for 70 days, well, the window is only 60. By the time you find out, it's too late.
I've got to agree with that. I just had one come in 9 months late.
So maybe the letters are still coming. Yeah. We have yet to see them.
I mean, it is important. You know, I mean, I think it's important to say, you know, Laura, obviously you guys are just doing what you're supposed to do. I mean, I certainly, I'm glad HR is on top of this stuff as much as you are. And I wouldn't want you to ever try to make any kind of, you know, exception without us going through this process. But, you know, Adam, I think you've made a very reasonable case, and I don't think there's any reason why we should make this more difficult than it has to be. I'd be in favor of just allowing this exception.
And narrowly defining the exception is the reason is there was no change in status.
Right.
From single to family.
And I don't know if this is possible, but what would be a case when you have a female employee working that you do not know is expecting, single, and then they have the child? How would that play out? And do not put them on.
Good point.
I suppose that anyone can appeal something to us anytime they want, but I don't think it'd be any different based on the gender. If Adam was a single and this was their first child and he hadn't put his wife on our insurance, there wouldn't have been a change there would be a change in status there.
Well, if he had his wife on, they'd already have a family.
But if he didn't, let's just say he was being insured, his wife wasn't, they had a baby, and he didn't get to us within 30, he'd have 60 days at that point?
Yes.
He didn't get to us in 60 days, there would be a change in status there. And that's where you get into this gray area of were they gaming the system, which isn't you. But did they try to go without insurance and then all of a sudden something happened and, hey, by the way, I want family insurance. But to me, the difference is here, there's no change in status. They were already paying for family insurance. And I mean, anybody can appeal any ruling that happens to the board, and we would consider that on a case-by-case basis. But that would be a weaker case to me, because there would be a change in status, and you should have known there would be a change in status. I mean, you can't insure your whole family without telling us. I mean,
without
paying for it.
I think we need to weigh each one individually and make those decisions as we go. I mean, you have an individual. He could have adopted a child and forgot to put it on. Then once it's on, to me, that hardship you would put on the family is not warranted when I have the ability to cover that insurance.
Or do we just change the policy to say that if you want to add a new child, we just allow a new child to be added, period.
At any time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, that's where you run the risk of being able to game it, because
it's to be gamed. I mean,
well, if you say we're not going to pay, so let's say that like my wife and I have separate insurance, right? She's not on the county's policy. I'm not on hers. So let's say that we do have a child and want to just wait and see if we can get by without having to pay for it. And then,
so the kid's on nobody's insurance.
Or whatever. And then all of a sudden we just decide, oh man, something's happened. You know, we're going to need, he's going to have to go to the hospital. We better sign up. Well, we might have just went 2, 3, 6, 9 months without paying, whereas everybody else has been paying.
Yeah,
but you can end up being a legal care provider too, and forget that time limit, and
I guess,
it'd be your policy.
I don't. I mean, I see that, but I don't necessarily. I think that is going to be commonplace by any means.
And
I'd rather have just someone covered if we're going to go down it.
Yeah. We don't have to play hypothetical in this case. If we make an exception to policy and we define why we're making the exception, that's the only precedence we've set. If some other circumstance happens, then someone's free to appeal it to us.
I mean,
you can't sit here and think of every hypothetical.
No, you can just say the policy's now this, and then that's just the policy.
But only if they're paying family insurance.
And maybe there we go.
I mean, there's no change in status of your insurance.
And maybe that's the compromise.
I just don't want to open up a can of worms if we don't have to. You know, I'm just worried about...
Because if you're creating...
Well, I think we open a can of worms if we don't create a consistent policy.
If you're not, if there's no change in the status of your insurance, you're already paying for family. You're, the rest of the family is already covered.
Then,
that's one thing.
Then let's just
You brought in a kid and all you were paying single, that's a total different case.
Okay.
And I think that's reasonable. Not willing to sit here and give an exception to policy there because I think that's a separate argument.
But it is the case that if you have a family policy and you forget to add a child, is anyone...
I think we are setting a precedent by saying
this. Let's just make that the policy.
This is the first time it's ever come up.
Yeah. It's never happened before, right? I mean, shame on you.
No, but it's...
I didn't intend for this to happen.
We need a discussion, each one individually, as far as I'm concerned. I'm willing to make...
But if the exact same thing happened tomorrow in this case, 70-whatever days... They already are paying family insurance. I'm assuming we're setting a little bit of precedence here. There's no change in status. It's within the limits that Blue Cross Blue Shield can go back. And, you know.
Right, because if you would treat somebody differently, then you'd...
Right. We would treat someone the same in this circumstance, and then we would deal with another circumstance on another day. I mean.
Can we vote?
We can't necessarily vote. We can give a consensus.
But I mean, what if we don't have consensus?
Then we put a vote on it.
Well, I mean, can we...
Formal agenda, I suppose. But
well, can we take a... It's kind of what I was getting at. Can we do a...
Straw poll.
Straw poll.
What's the proposal?
Let me try it. That an exception to policy is granted because... a change in status from single to family insurance did not occur.
Just because no change in status occurred.
But no change to the policy.
It's just an exception to policy.
I'm for that.
But that's, I mean,
well, how do you want to word it?
That,
well...
I mean, well, let's see if you have three first. I mean,
yeah, just it depends. If Pat wants to do this, we...
No, I don't want that. I don't want that stipulation in there. I just think that if we weigh each one individually,
well, that's what not she just said. For
that. That's what she just said.
No, she didn't. She said she put the portion on there where it actually said that because there's no exception to the family plan. I think you'd have instances where that family plan...
Let me try this.
Yeah, because I think there's three that want to at least make an exception.
In this situation, I'd be willing to grant an exception for Adam's family.
And don't state the reason? I mean, that's what you want, Pat?
I don't necessarily... You can state a reason why, but I don't want to put a clause on there that's going to come up next time and say, we made this decision based on this, and that's it.
But we are setting precedents, and we should say what the precedent is.
Are you okay with what I just said? I mean, just...
Yeah, I'm already making the exception.
Are you okay with just granting the exception?
Sure.
Well, then, is that good enough for you, Laura? That's the direction?
No. Okay.
No, not without a policy change. That's fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The other votes.
All right.
We have to vote before you can insure the kid, right?
I believe so.
We'll have to take formal action on an exception.
But it'll be retroactive. So we can't vote until next Thursday is what we're talking about.
Okay. Yeah. Officially.
Yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't mean it can't get started.
I can fill out the paperwork in the meantime.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
Yep.
Thank you, guys.
The equipment... Supplemental, we talked about that earlier this morning. Do we they're going to come back and talk about that another day, right?
Department head meeting. I'm putting it on. So, yeah, some of these things are duplicates. That's the one item that we actually got to. So.
All right, next is maintenance and capital improvement plan.
And you have members of the Space Needs Committee here. It is in your packet. So,
do we have the capability to put this up like we do?
No, I can't multitask then, but...
We need to get you two computers. Why aren't we doing that?
I do have one. I could do that. but I can't keep track. So we had discussion about it. John Hannaford made the changes. The goal is to have this approved by the board in October. So I don't know if you want to like take starting in FY16.
What do we got?
Not 16. All in. That's right. Under.
Right. So. What is listed there is what was budgeted.
So do we need to add certain things to 17? For instance, the jail courthouse, or the courthouse entrance is going to be estimated more than that. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, more than is in 16?
300,000?
I thought we had 250 up there.
It was 300.
Oh, did you change that? Because we had budgeted 250 in our budget presentation.
For which one?
I guess I would. I, from my perspective.
HVAC.
No, the courthouse security entrance.
Oh, courthouse.
The changes in the dollar amounts occur during budgeting or amendments.
That hasn't. I mean, it was 250,000 in our budget presentation back in February of last year.
Right, I understand, but. I don't think you have to vote on amending this. You vote on amending the budget. I mean...
No, that's fine. I was just pointing out that that's changed.
Yeah.
I think... I don't know exactly how, but they're moving money around capital improvements.
John Hannaford, budget analyst, Johnson County Finance Department. What you see there reflects a budget amendment we will be doing in the next couple of weeks.
That's why I didn't know it yet.
And also temporary housing for... ambulance during construction. I think that is reflective of that. And the buy and demolish property for ambulance building, those two things together, some of that is reflective of what we're going to propose in a budget amendment.
The temporary housing for ambulance, is that an accurate number?
Sure seems.
I know facilities is working on a proposal now for the board.
That's what the Space Needs Committee decided upon.
So we I'll just say that I haven't agreed on that amount.
No.
And I don't agree with this, and I won't be voting for a budget amendment that has it in it.
Okay.
I mean...
Well, we'll definitely want to separate that one out, yeah.
Well, you'll... Sure.
When is that...
I mean, when the budget amendment comes up, you can vote or...
Yeah, we...
Accept or deny any parts of it you wish.
But just because someone gave you that number doesn't mean the board signed off on it.
No.
I think you need to talk to facilities. I think they have a possible...
So,
but that's what... Steve, that's what... I mean, this is being presented to the board.
Right.
Now.
Yes.
So if you don't want something in here, you tell John and John will change it.
Exactly.
I mean, this
I do not want to spend $250,000 on temporary housing. I am aware of three other options that are cheaper than that.
Right.
So that's the kind of thing
I want that. I want to have a conversation about that.
All right.
Yeah.
So the board propose a dollar amount that you would be acceptable to you.
We need to make a decision on where we're going to put the temporary housing and what it's going to cost before we put a dollar amount in here.
Would you like me to remove that from the maintenance and capital improvement plan?
So far you have two that say question mark.
What? All right. We can just remove that from the plan if you don't want
two.
It in the plan.
Well, one more.
I think I agree with you guys, but I'm not opposed to having a placeholder number.
Yeah, just don't put the dollar amount. We know we have to fill in the dollar amount.
All right.
Yeah, just put questions.
No dollar amount. Sure. I can make that change.
I mean, we're not voting on this
today. But if you're making
anyway.
A budget amendment, you need a dollar amount, don't you?
For the amendment, we will have there will be a dollar amount in there, yes.
All right. Still got a couple more weeks.
Yep.
Andy, I think that probably be best if we have a separate item, work session, agenda, discussion, and really get this hammered out before we have a budget amendment here in 2 weeks. Okay. We'll get that. I mean, we just need, again, those options. What are the pros? What are the cons? What are the, you know, what are the options? And have three policymakers at least determine what we think is in the best interest of the steps that need to be made move forward. And quite frankly, I'd like to know a date and all those other things. So maybe just a little bit of who, what, where, when, why would be nice to know from the ones that have to make this decision. Yeah.
Yeah, so the temporary housing for ambulance during construction and buy and demolish property for ambulance building, those two things are kind of together, and the amount that's kind of been set aside so far, I guess my understanding and our understanding was $400,000. So
that's correct.
So this is something more than that. That's the reason why there may be a budget amendment for that.
Good to know. So temporarily right now, there's an additional $200,000 that may be requested. Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
So I will eliminate the dollar amount for the temporary housing. We'll put no amount, and we can work on that.
We're pretty assured, though, that the buy and demolish property is going to be in that range. Okay. We think. Okay, somewhere in that neighborhood. I know it's still generic.
Okay, anything else for 16? All those other things were unchanged.
So this is a generic question, but it's my understanding that the board wanted the capital improvement plan to have all of conservation's projects that they have projected out in this document so that we have one document. So that needs to happen.
They are in there. They're Appendix 1.
But I don't see it right here.
In the Appendix 1.
But why is it not laid out by year?
It is laid out by year in Appendix 1.
I'm looking at FY16, the very first page.
I understand. If you go down to Appendix 1.
Right, but why isn't it on this page, project summaries?
Because this is not Appendix 1. Does the board want to see all of conservation's projects included in the rest of the document and not separated? Our understanding from the Space Needs Committee was that it should be a separate section of the document. So that's what we did.
I want it integrated in.
That might be helpful to have. I mean, it's nice to have it separated, but I think that overall, when we look at the total yearly budget, it probably would be more helpful.
Well, I understand what you're saying. I'd like to have it out there, but same time, if it's comes out of the conservation budget, it needs to be broken out separately.
It comes out of the bonding, right?
Yes.
90-some% would.
And
just because it's in this document doesn't mean that the budget was approved. But it should all be in the same document.
Well, and I think through our strategic priorities, we did ask that we were able to kind of showcase this is where we were each year.
I think this is what... That's why
we wanted it.
I mean, this is what we asked John to do, and if we want him to do it a different way, I think that's fine.
Yeah.
It's just I think...
Well, that's just how the committee decided to put it in there.
I think we broke it out separately simply because it seemed easier to follow the other stuff with it not. But if we want to do it the other way, I don't think that's a big deal.
I'd like to be able to look at this page and see a line that says conservation and have the projects listed.
Okay.
And I think that, just having both in there would be helpful. Yeah, I agree. It won't be too much to add.
Do you want it as a separate grouping by year?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Maintenance projects underlying, capital building projects underlying, conservation projects underlying.
But it's really helpful.
Okay. But it's all listed under FY17 or whatever year.
Sure. Okay. Yep. Can do that.
Since we tax for it anyway at this point.
Yep. Well, because it's part of the argument of what else do we have going on and how much conservation bonding can we do at that time? And so this should be a snapshot. It doesn't mean everything on here is going to happen. It doesn't mean we voted on the budget. It just means here's our roadmap. So if you get to FY17,
mm-hmm.
jail roof. Eldon's not here to defend himself, but I'm relatively sure he told me that that could be put off. So here it is back in FY17. So did he put it back in FY17? Or was that just where it was before and it didn't get moved yet?
Well, he was at the meeting, the committee meeting, and we went through it, and he didn't say anything about moving it.
Because when we talked about the fact that we needed more money for the ambulance medical examiner, and we were down in the treasurer's conference room, and we went through this, I'm sure that was a project he said could be put off until the new building was constructed. And, you know, just put it in an outer year. And so that's just a question mark that needs to be verified.
I think that's correct. I think it's just in here basically, again, as kind of a placeholder. And do you want to...
If we do put it off, we should go into 18 then, probably.
Yeah, and he said that. Yeah, I mean, I just don't remember when he said. I mean, it's not going to disappear from the list. But it was...
You're talking about a pretty big expenditure in 17.
Right, so other things were going to get delayed.
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll check with Eldon on that.
In administration HVAC Phase 3, I'm a little confused because didn't we just award the contract for all of it? No, it's not done. We decided we were going to do all of it.
Just a phase. Didn't we combine?
Now I'm just totally confused where we are.
We did all of it. I think as far as timing, I don't know if it was as far as timing or the fact that we hadn't budgeted.
He thinks $800,000 won't cover it.
Well, there was. It's going to be split. Eldon said it would be split really between fiscal year 16 we're currently in. And some of it late in the summer, which would be fiscal year 17. So we split the total. It was about $900,000, close to $1 million between FY16 and FY17.
And that's what we had discussed.
Yeah, so if you see up in FY16, it's got $800,000 there. And in 17, it's just got $200,000. So it was split between those 2 years. He thinks the majority of it will happen this spring, into the summer. But some of it will happen after July 1st, which would be FY17 fiscal year.
So opposed to phases, it really has to do more with when the cost
fiscal year comes due.
But that's sort of how we labeled it.
So that's why in 17 it shows $200,000. Is that clear?
I guess, I mean, this will be for an argument when we get to budgeting, but... when you could look down and it says ambulance medical examiner building $3 million, and I have no idea what other real estate opportunities are for $3 million.
Well, some other things had been discussed, and so what we had talked about is as far as being prepared for that.
That's
kind of have a placeholder.
Yeah, but we're not doing that in FY17. And so in order to afford the ambulance medical examiner, we will not be vacating that property in FY17 and other projects were to move in outline years because we budgeted $3 million for ambulance medical examiner this year. We can budget $3 million next year and have a status quo budget. We can't, and plus we had $1 million whatever for other projects, and you can still get a status quo budget on capital improvements. But you can't go $3 million, $3 million, $1.5 million, because you're going to increase taxes $4.5 million at that point. So it can't all end up in FY17.
And in some ways, there's a... this is used to help with budgeting, but it's also, I mean, and we can kind of use it how you want, but it's not necessarily, you could have an item in there that you've got the savings for, because, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that's an annual budgeted item. I think this is sort of a planning document to say, are there items there that funding that you can pull from? Because where you do, you know, you put the funding and the source and the plan more down in the detail. And so, I mean, you have to answer that question, but it's not, it, that doesn't necessarily mean the dollar, that amount goes right in the budget. And that's a board discussion. I think what we talked about in the committee was several things have come up. I mean, the GSA discussion was another piece. When you're approving something in October, you know, who knows what's going to come up and what the needs are. And so is there a way that having something like that helps plan for?
Sure.
That was the
other story. Real estate opportunities needs to go in FY18 because we will not have the money to do that in FY17. That's
everyone,
my play on this.
All right.
Well,
and if something came up in the interim, we will scramble. But, I mean,
I'm not. I think it's a little premature to put those kinds of monies out there for projects that we have not identified what we even want to accomplish or even strategically put in any of our plans. So, now, I mean, I think there has always been a desire, at least, for acquisition of a parking lot.
Sure.
And if that's, you know, but no one has ever talked about an actual price tag.
A parking lot.
GSA.
Oh, GSA.
Or the redevelopment of CarQuest, but the redevelopment of CarQuest lot will not occur in FY17. We'll still be in the building because the new building won't be finished.
And maybe we'll have it sold by then. But, you know, that's for another debate.
Well,
I think
there was a price tag put on with the GSA plus some parking.
I think it was $500,000.
It was.
Or $550,000. But that's, all I'm saying is that if we want to keep it generic, that's fine. And you're right, I don't think it belongs in 17. I don't think there's any.
So my play on this is, jail roof has a question mark because I believe that Eldon told us when we were scrambling to find the money for ambulance and medical examiner, that could be put off to an outer year. And the other real estate opportunities needs to be moved down to 18. I mean,
okay,
because
sure,
we're not going to be off that land in 17.
But I think when this was done, too, there were maybe other things being talked about as well.
Right, which isn't going to happen. So,
okay, I'll move it to 18, FY18. Anything else on there for 17? Do you have questions about or?
Well, so this document is only supposed to have projects that are 50,000 or higher, right? Isn't that our rule?
That was the guideline, but actually the first year we did it, you know, we included things that we were aware of.
So
anyway,
the solar panels for administration at HHS, that's going to come from the green kind of fund. And if it's under $50,000, I don't think we want it on this document. That's because if we go down that path, then we're going to be putting every little thing that's under $50,000 on this document. That's not to say we're not going to do green initiatives in FY17. It just, I don't want to say $30,000 for this or $20,000 for that, because that wasn't the point of creating this document originally. It was for major projects that were expensive.
Also, I believe it was going to include strategic plan initiatives.
So then if we want to
solar
do this,
panels may fall into that.
If you want to do this, just put green initiatives, $50,000 each
okay.
year.
Sure.
And don't spell out what it's for.
Okay.
I mean, and I don't know if that's the right number, but if it's under $50,000, I don't think it belongs on here.
All right.
And what we said is if it's $50,000 or more, involves significant disruption of service or operation, or are included in strategic priorities, or require multi-year planning. So
it's pretty open-ended. So why don't you let's just call it green initiatives and not spell out what the project is, because this like commits us to that project, and I'm not sure that's the one we'll choose.
Okay. Yeah,
great. Or we may do four projects.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll change the title of that to Green Initiatives. Security.
And that's our placeholder. Yep. We're just doing 50 every year, right?
Yep, yep. Poor farm.
It's
poor farm, okay.
In comparison with last year's document, didn't we start the windows and lights in FY18, and Eldon had recommended moving it up a year? I guess what we did, it was going to start in 17 and be over 3 years, and this is 2 years and combined. So it's put together over 2 years.
I don't mind this being on there as a placeholder, but I bet when we get to the budgeting, we're going to have an argument about that. I mean, when we're trying to build a building, that becomes the priority, not, you know.
I noticed with the the 16, 17, and 18 numbers, and I can't remember, John, why we came up with the numbers we did, but the poor farm numbers don't seem right to me, because if nothing else, I thought we were rolling in the roughly $36,000 that we get in income.
Plus the 20 that used to be directed at historic.
Right. So I
think that's what the difference is. 16 and 17,000
in income and 20,000.
That's where we got the 50 for 17.
But in 18, it goes down to 20.
Yeah, the 18, I see on my notes, the 18 should be 50 also.
Okay.
That's my mistake.
That makes sense. Thank you.
I didn't put that in there. Yeah. And so we had 50,000 for poor farm for 17, 18, and 19, the same amount. Yep. I'll change that.
Well, now, is that separate from the rent that we put back into that?
It's a combination.
It includes it. I thought we were up to 78 when we did that.
I think this year you were up higher.
Yeah, because we put additional cash in and then put the rent back into it. I would like to do that again.
Yeah, for 16 it was higher than the other years. You put extra money into the poor farm for FY16.
And my guess is we will carve out some extra money for the poor farm based on what projects we decide to do. But it should be assumed that 50 is the minimum.
Yeah, or find out more triage type of scenarios. I mean, on the pace we're going right now, it's going to take a very long time.
Right. We're going to have to bite the bullet.
And even walking in the asylum and seeing the water damage and some of the stuff that we're not even talking about that needs to be... Well, Pat, you've noted that.
We need to keep cash going in there if we're going to get ahead of it. Otherwise, we're just starting over.
Plus, if we put some investment in the... I guess a lot of it depends on the conservation folks, but bathrooms and other...
So do we want
new buildings?
Do we want 50,000 to be the placeholder, or do we want some? Because this year it's almost 90,000.
It's hard to know because we haven't decided on what kind of consultation. I'm not going to use the short word of that in regards to how we prioritize what we want done out there. So we have at least enough to cover the water, right?
That'll be in this year.
Okay. I mean, got that in there too. So it would be nice to at least plan for what we have contributed at least this year and try to keep a consistent number and get it up to.
So change the number to, can we make it even? Because I don't know how we ended up at 89.5.
Well, that's the actual amount that's budgeted.
The 99. So 90.
How it ended up that strange.
So you want to make it 90?
I don't know. Or just make it a clean 100. But whatever it's going to be, I mean, it'll be
going forward.
That's
for 17.
That's kind of I think that's clearly what we're going to have to do is line up the projects we want to get done and budget the dollar amount and
we
do.
Just don't know.
You know, because if you can't. At some point, you can't do anything for $50,000. You need $150,000, and
Yeah, we need to talk with Eldon about probably more specificity off that.
And maybe it's an eventual, at least a bondable project that needs to be to put in the major upgrade.
Right.
If we keep the whole project under 1.2.
So do you want him to change it to 100 for 17, 18, 19?
Yeah.
Oh, 100? Okay. 100?
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Maybe the ambulance folks will be moving out there for a while.
17, 18, and 19.
So I have a question. Shouldn't we have a 20 here now? Because aren't we trying to look at the year we're in and five more?
Well, I guess I thought it was 3-year.
Oh, is that what we decided?
The 3-year?
Because what we're doing here is the year we're in and four more.
Yeah, I thought we were only going out 3 because we said 5 was just such a crapshoot.
17, 18, 19, yeah. Three future years, yeah.
All right, so are we in 18 now?
Yeah, how about 18? Anything?
Yeah, 18? I have something.
Sure.
And I'm not saying this won't happen, but I want to have a discussion about it. Seats, secondary road storage, additional bays. As we're going paperless and as the court's going paperless, the need for that is not there. So it may be needed for storage of vehicles more than paper now. So I don't have a problem holding it, but I would take out the word storage.
Okay.
Because I don't think storage is going to be our issue out there. I would put West Campus additional bays. And don't, because it says seats, secondary roads, storage. I just take all of that and put West Campus additional bays, $450,000 as a placeholder. And then, so that's where I am on that, because I think the need for storage is decreasing every day. Great. I'm grateful for that. And then HHS build out, we put that out there whenever we started this document. I don't see that happening in 18. I don't see the need for more offices, unless it's a courthouse situation. And if that's the case, I mean, so from my perspective, when we get this new building built, we need a year or two of breathing room here after that. And I would push that out another year. That's just where I am.
Okay. As a committee, we did talk about that. Should we keep it or remove it? And in the end, we decided to keep it, that may be something that happens, you know, in the next couple of years.
What we were talking about was that if it happened, it was probably the county attorney's office. But I'm just not sure that the county attorney is willing to do that, for one thing. And, you know, Terrence has talked many times, I'm not going to force new offices on people that don't want them. So
we have it for 18.
It's like giving someone a nice new road and they're mad about it.
What? It's just my play.
Yeah, we have it for 18 and 19.
I would take HHS build out one half out of 18, move it to 19.
And just leave it at
19. And put the second half of the build out in future projects. Okay. That's my perspective on it.
By having it in 19, you still have, there's still a trigger. There's still a reminder that it could happen.
But I don't mind having the option there. We're not locked into it.
And I guess I lied about the windows. It is there in three, still in three.
Yeah, it's in 3 years.
I think we talked about trying to find efficiencies if it was, you know, possible to do more of it.
Oh, I was just going to say,
Eldon suggested, but here he is, about
speaking
the
of
windows. I think it was a question. We wanted to do it, and we felt that we should do it in 18 because it's going to start to be a question of, they leak and they will deteriorate the rest of the building. So we really thought it should happen. Eldon thought it should happen sooner rather than later. So I'll leave it up to Eldon.
Yeah, blame it on me. But since that time, just to throw in here, the rooftop units might be a priority over these windows. And I just got a ballpark on them, which is $150,000 apiece. So
how many of them are there?
We got two. So, yeah, when it rains, it does pour. Yeah,
funny pit.
So, I would say we could probably postpone the window for another year, and I'd rather, you know.
So we're looking at a good $500,000 to $600,000 repairs to our newer building that was built by who? I mean, do we start to advertise
Tricon
this?
Was yeah. The contractor.
Okay.
Well, it's more than that. It's $600,000 or $900,000 for windows.
A section. There's six yep. sections of windows. And then on top of that, you're going to have to throw another $300,000 in for the two rooftop units on top of that.
This is you talking.
So,
you.
Because we're building a new building in FY17, I think some of these projects have to get moved around.
Sure.
Eldon, when we met down in the treasurer's office, when we had a little sticker shock about what a building costs, I thought you told us that the jail roof could go to an outer year.
It can go into another year, yes.
Okay. So
right now, we looked it up, and it's like a 20-year roof, and it's on like 12 or 13 years. So, I mean, it can go another few years out, so that's no problem.
Right. It's not leaking now?
No, we've taken care of it. Mm-hmm.
Why not take jail roof out of FY17 and move it?
About to 19.
And that's fine.
I mean, move it to 19.
Years, yeah. That's a few years away.
And then okay. Take the windows out of 17 and yeah. Put in, what are those things called on a roof?
RTU, rooftop unit.
Yeah.
Well, what are the rooftop unit for what?
Pardon?
HVAC?
And the heat and cooling of the whole building, yeah.
So HHS, rooftop, HVAC. And put $300,000, but then move the windows down a year.
Now, that estimate I got was, that was his ballpark on what he thought a unit cost. I don't have a solid dollar amount yet on the thing. So that as soon as I get that, we'll have to plug that in. And I can let everybody know, too.
And the HVAC for here, when are we going to bid on this?
This one's a bid. It's done. They're already ordering equipment already.
What did the cost come in, then?
Yeah, let me think. Let's see. What do we have it?
I thought it was 900 some
yeah,
thousand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. We're doing the whole majority. Thing.
That's what so, I yeah. said earlier. Yeah. We had been out the HVAC, but 17. We haven't been out the roof.
The roof is due next week, I think.
Okay, so that's what's due next week. So while this says 400,000, we don't actually know.
As far as the roof?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I knew something was wrong here. It just didn't.
I am hoping by getting an alternate material, that will be a lot less.
Okay.
That's what I'm working toward right now.
Yeah.
Oh. So.
I forget I'm up there.
We have your email, Andy.
Hey. I know. All right, what's on there?
I'm trying to do other stuff. All right, so I'm just replacing the HH and 17. I'm replacing HHH windows and lights, that 300,000, with HHS HVAC. And then the windows will do 18, 19, and future.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I want to...
Roof will go to 19.
I want to make an argument about courthouse carpet. Did we replace some of the carpet? None.
No. That was taken off last year.
All right. So I am concerned about the jury boxes, too.
Yeah.
Not being ADA accessible.
Well, we have it to address that. We bought a ramp that can be put on there.
Okay.
Our concerns is, I approached several people to build boxes so that the wheelchair would sit in with the jury, and the people that wanted to build the boxes were concerned about liability. And so we just kind of let it go at that. So we bought a ramp. What is going to have to take place is some of the chairs that the alternates would sit in would have to be removed, and the wheelchair person would have to be then up there with everybody else. But, yes, to simplify it, we need to build some they're different angled boxes so that each jury box will accommodate somebody rolling up and into it, and it's... Several of the people that I contacted that they were concerned about building something sturdy enough and the liability if it fell down, that, you know, that kind of deal. So that's what they were concerned about.
It's basically a glorified stage, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
You build a stage.
If you got an electric wheelchair up there, there's a lot of weight in one spot.
But that's what this was designed for, right?
But you're not sitting in a 300-pound chair or better, and it's sitting on four little one-inch points, and that's what they're worried about, that they would have to, if something was wrong as far as a seam or whatever, and it all of a sudden it fell down, and down they go, that's what their concern was. And I mean, there's not much I can do to argue about it, sort of building them myself, but...
I am concerned that we need to start working on that and having a plan, or we're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, and that's why we bought...
So we have to lay out a plan for ADA compliance in the courthouse.
We have them.
That doesn't mean it has to be done. We have to have a plan in...
Well, the plan... We do have an ADA plan for the whole county, which I... when I started here, that was one of my tasks, and I got it, all the buildings, all the sites, it's all wrote down, and Dana has it right now downstairs in HR, and I don't know where it went from there.
We never adopted it.
No, but I went to every site we own, every building we owned in that first couple of years, and wrote down what was needed to make it ADA. And then I was told not to worry about it. And now it came up again. And I said, well, here's all the information you need. And I gave it away. So I don't know where we're at. I think her and probably the insurance are looking at it and see what's needed to be done. Because it was stuck at the courthouse in the attorney's office for the longest time. So, but every site we have and what is needed at the time I did it is all done.
And when you threw out this number, $100,000, did you think that would do one courtroom, or?
Is that for carpet?
It says carpet and jury boxes, $100,000.
Well, boxes are, we figured around $20,000 to have boxes built, depending on, because like, if you, courtroom, second floor courtroom, I guess that's 2A, you basically have to go into the little room that's in the northeast corner, and that person would have to go out to go to the jury deliberation. So basically you need a ramp in the closet area, and then they have to be able to come up into that deal, because like you are here, the curved railing, they can't get up through that. There's not enough width. You'd have to take the railing out and everything like that. It's a mess. So the safest way or the quickest way was to build a floor, a raised floor, or whatever you want to call it, all the way in the back to get it from point A to point B. And as far as the flooring, in one, a couple of the courtrooms, I think it's on the, I think it's 2B. The carpet is, and it's a trip hazard. Plus, there's some soft spots that we have to open up and see what the hell they are. I don't know how they made the floor, whether it's concrete or wood or what it is up on top of there. So that has to be addressed sometime here pretty soon.
Right, and so I was kind of making the argument that we start working on it sooner.
Sure.
Yeah, we've kind of prioritized the courthouse first to address security, cameras, and those kinds of expenses. And then I think you're right, Janelle. The
you and Michael need to look at it.
Adding ADA to that.
Okay.
Do we have enough funding in our courthouse needs for security to include not just the outer shell? We also have in there all the equipment we need, accommodations, anything like that. When are we budgeting for that, and where is that coming from?
I don't know where that's coming from, because the machines, I had nothing to do with those.
All right. So let's just talk about
that for a second. That would be coming from the
sheriff's
department, I would assume.
Plus, you know, reaccommodating the front door so that it has emergency bars. You know,
those are going to be kind of things. Those would be in with the what we're doing to the south, the west side. That'd be part of it, because all it is a panic bar being put on there so that it sends a...
So we don't have in there is the actual equipment that... The metal detector.
No, or the x-ray machine.
Right.
John. I mean, they do have an they do have the metal detector
is that
there already.
Space, or is that something else?
What's
the,
that?
I believe it's the x-ray machine will be in a budget amendment proposal.
And like, you know what I'm saying, like where they sit on, how they are accommodating, all of those kind of things.
No chairs or nothing other than that.
Somebody needs to think about that, plus probably is there camera equipment, TVs,
the two cameras, monitors. We've already thought about those.
Hopefully no more space heaters, you know, things like that. Get them a little mini fridge.
Yeah, you know. There you go. We can do all that, too.
Yeah, I think I said it before. We need to get together with the sheriff and get what those specs of that equipment is. So when they build that, you need to get the proper electricity to it, or we're going to be making changes, and it's going to cost us.
No, we understand that. But they don't. I don't know what they're going to. They have specs, several different kinds that they're supposed to be bringing to.
Or is it assembled in there?
Sheriff's department was supposed to bring it to you guys.
I talked to him sometime, but he didn't know anything about it. You guys need to get together on it.
So I've just, I was not involved in what machine because I don't know what they need for an X-ray machine.
They had some conversation during the courthouse security committee.
Yeah.
But yeah, they really need to get that in a budget amendment really soon.
Okay. So with all that discussion, that I have another idea. In FY18, we already took out HHS build out and moved it to 19 and 20, right, basically?
Correct.
So I'm proposing we take out the West Campus additional bays out of 18, move it to 19, and put in more money for courthouse
security and
stuff, remodeling.
Right?
And,
yeah, remodel.
And don't tell us what it's going to be for, but we know we're talking about, you can put in parentheses, carpet, jury boxes, accessibility, okay. And put in, keep that in 18, but make it more money and a little more open-ended about what projects can fit in there, because at least we would have a plan then that says, yes, in FY18, we intend to address all this in the courthouse.
All right.
And to me, that's a higher priority than more garage space at West Campus. I mean...
Yes, because right now it looks like we might not need as much garage space right now.
Right.
One thing, and I apologize for not being here, the cameras that we're using for all the campus, we're right at the limit of what we can handle right now without adding anything else. And so adding the ones that would be for the new ambulance building, there's at least 12 cameras in that.
So you mean storage?
I'm talking storage. Right now, what the cameras we have set up, we can only use them at half resolution, what they're made for, in order to be able to make the system work. And the system is slow. It's so slow that it's actually slowing down and stopping, and then comes back up again when it reboots. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm getting prices with Clint, and I'm working with IT, and we're trying to figure out. We got a couple switches that we need to buy, which are about $650 a piece or more, that we have to put in each building in order to make them faster communication back and forth. But the size of our main server for the cameras is also not big enough. Plus, the other thing that I was told, our license is good for 48 cameras, and we're at 47 right now. So in order to step up to 60, we haven't been able to get a price on what that's going to cost us yet either. So
the other question
I know what you're thinking. I'm just full of good
news. Why do you even come in here?
I believe, Eldon, some of those things you talked about, I think we're putting those in a budget amendment for this year.
I just wanted to make everybody aware.
Maybe not all of
that. And the other thing that's happening, which is a good thing, is IT is going to become more involved in security cameras because...
Yes, because between working with them, we can buy the cameras, we can buy the equipment at our cost.
Right.
And most of this, honestly, the last two cameras we needed to replace... Well, I bought on Amazon for less money than we could have bought them through the company. So Bill seems to think that they can work on the equipment and the cameras, and if we do we can get the wire pulled for a little bit of nothing, we should be able to make it work. Because right now the reliability of having somebody troubleshoot our system is in question right now. So
by pushing those windows down back on HHS, what are we doing to the deterioration of that building over there? I'm just a little afraid we're going to run into some real problems if we push it too far.
Well, they came in and sealed the north units, the northeast set of windows up there, and those have not leaked since. The thing we're looking at is the double set of seals that were supposedly installed are either improperly or not there on some. So if it's not leaking, Pat, I think we can get by another year. What we'll probably end up having to do is have them come back and check the ones on the flag entrance, because we do have some, looks like, drywall issues where it does get wet and stuff like that. Those two sets of windows are the most, what I would say, the most abused or critical ones, I guess is what I want to say, that I would be more concerned about them than the rest of them around the building, because the wind and out of the northwest and everything seems to just push it right into there.
Well, if drywall is getting wet, you're going to start getting mold and mildew and everything else.
Yeah, and then I want to make sure that we don't have that in there, too. So we'll probably have them come back and check those windows just to verify that everything's the way it's supposed to be. And a lot of it's coming in through those sunshade things or whatever the heck they are, because you got a big opening and the water, there's nothing to stop it. And the water just comes in and runs right down the pipe and inside there. So,
John, you're changing that. I don't know what's going on with our mics, but the solar panel thing to be a little more open-ended, like green initiatives.
Yes, sure.
Carry that through each year then. Because it'll become like security in the poor farm, where it's every year.
Every year expense.
And then each year we decide what projects we're going to do in that.
All right, for $30,000?
Well, so tell me, I don't even remember the green fund. We started it with $50,000. We put all the rebates in it, and we're adding $25,000.
I believe we're adding $25,000 a year.
That's our
minimum.
The rebate thing.
The revolving fund.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Energy reinvestment fund.
Yep. Reinvestment fund,
yeah. So, 30's fine. I mean, okay. 1 year it may be 80, and the next year it may be nothing, but...
Sure.
Do we have security in there?
Okay, just for clarification...
Security's there every year at $50,000.
Wasn't in this year's.
Well, that was an accident.
Okay.
We talked about the courthouse renovation, including accessibility. It was 100. You've said we were going to increase that. Do you have a target for that, 200 or?
So I'll tell you, 50. I don't exactly know. But from my perspective, we ought to approach this in a region, so we don't have the whole courthouse torn up at once, or we don't. So we do courtroom X.
Mm-hmm.
We do courtroom B. We do county attorney's office this side. And I don't know what the dollar amount is, and I don't know what the total renovation cost would cost. Let's say it's $250,000 every year for 4 years. That's $1 million of renovation going into the courthouse in $250,000 chunks. I mean, I'm just making this up. I mean,
Well, we can schedule a courtroom, like you were saying. It'd be much easier to say, okay, we're going into 2A today, and this is where we'll be working. And it'd be easier to schedule everything else for those people up there around that, as opposed to, hey, we're working in the courthouse today.
Right.
Like you're saying. Yeah, I think that'd be a great idea.
At some point, we had a renovation number on the first bond referendum. And we said we'd pay for that in our regular capitals. $1 million is sticking in my mind. I don't know if that's wrong.
It was somewhere around in there. It was either one or one and a half, or I can't remember what it was either, but I remember seeing it too.
But why not $250,000 each year for 4 years? And then it would be, I mean, you change this document every year. I mean.
Sure. Yeah, it gets reviewed every year, so you can adjust it as you need to. Would that be starting in 18, or do you want to start in next summer in 17?
I will say that in order to afford this building, basically only the bare minimum is getting done next year. It has to go to 18. That I mean, unless we hear something different.
Okay.
Maybe TIFs will come completely off.
That's my play on it. I mean, if all of a sudden assessments were different than what we're predicting, that'd be a different discussion.
Also, just as a note, I believe we are putting $50,000 in that budget amendment for building security.
Yeah.
For this year. Okay.
And with, right. And from that, we'll probably end up with the new server to handle all the cameras and the switches we're going to need, too. Because we need four cameras out at secondary roads. And that's the gate, the two gates, the fuel, and the workout room. And then we'll need two switches, one out there and one back here, so we can shoot it back and forth. And then we need two switches for the ambulance building. And then the two switches between this building and that building. Because we moved everything from here over there so it's on the generator so it can stay up and running. Where before we used to lose everything as soon as the power went out.
Okay, so I believe we've gone through 18. Anything else on 18?
18 once, 18 twice.
About 19? Let's see, 19 also includes West Campus additional bays.
So everything at Carry Forward, and the only new thing there then is half the build out of HHS, right? The first half.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then the Carry Forwards of everything that's a standing item, right?
Yep.
So security, core farm, green. Yes.
Courthouse renovation.
Courthouse.
Yep, that gets moved up there too.
Another year of windows, which is already there.
Yep. And then anything beyond 19, I'll put in that future needs. And that can eventually become 20. Anything else?
Future need, it says ambulance in Northeast Johnson County, that's not what's going to happen. It's going to be in North Liberty. Whether or not we have an expense there is unknown. I mean, Northeast Johnson County would be 15 years from now or something.
Future need out there somewhere.
It's just Northern Johnson County.
Yeah, I would change that to Northern Johnson County just so.
Okay.
I see you have in 19 that HHS windows and lights, and you know that the light thing's been a long going topic. Are we replacing? Are we repairing? What are we doing?
As far as the lights, replacing with LEDs. I would hope that we can't eliminate all the system we got that we can't get, we'll soon not be able to get parts for. But as far as the lights that we can't get parts for, we can replace those with what we're using now because those are still in production. So that's what I plan on going down the line, just start replacing them with what I've already started with. So they all look the same.
Anything else?
So I guess I'll make all these changes, and then do you want to bring it back to another work session just to go through it and review it again, make sure it's what you were expecting, and
can you
do that again? Or
that's fine, but can you, when you get them all done,
sure.
Since this was all confusing,
yes.
Would you just email it back to us so that it, if it's just something minor that
sure.
we catch, it gets changed before we come back to a work session?
Sure. Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Okay.
And our goal, I mean, are we want to adopt these by, did we?
October 30th.
Oh. Okay.
It actually said October 1st in the past, so we suggested moving it to the 30th.
The idea is to adopt it before we start budgeting, so.
Right.
I mean, when's our first budget meeting?
November 17th or middle of November.
Yep.
If you want to change it to say before budgeting starts, that would be fine with me.
We could say something like before the first budget work session.
Sure.
Do you want to say something like that? That way it's
flexible.
Yeah, flexible. Yeah. Okay, I like the sound of that. Right.
Thanks for all your work. I know it's a pain in the neck. I worked on it 1 year. Andy and Terrence, right?
A long time ago.
Started the chart, and then I worked on it 1 year. I about pulled my hair out.
First time we started it was 2002.
Well, I don't remember that.
That was the first time we actually had an actual plan.
It does change. Pretty bluntly. All right.
Okay, thank you.
We created the county campus.
Andy, does 4 and D tie together?
Now what? So what I was going to suggest is, since Tom Criz is here and Andy Chappell, is that we go to one of the closed sessions.
Right.
Now we do the 2 closed sessions and come back to the last 2 things that are just kind of the 5 of us.
Yeah.
That's why I was asking about 4, because that does tie into D, right?
I'm not sure what you're saying, but.
I move we go into executive session pursuant Iowa Code Section 2151J to discuss the purchase or sale of particular real estate where premature disclosure could be reasonably expected to increase the price of the governmental body would have to pay for the property or reduce the price the governmental body would receive for that property.
Second.
Motion to go into executive session by Reddick, second by Sullivan. Roll call.
Nugel.
Aye.
Harney.
Aye.
Reddick.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
We are in executive session.
We take a break.
Yeah, we'll like take a short recess here.
Quick break. Just quick little stretch.
Office over here.
Now we'll move back to number 5, state and federal legislative issues. Included update on Urban County Coalition, pending legislation affecting Johnson County and representation of county and individual positions.
So one of those 2 emails has the latest iteration of the priorities that the group has talked about. I just got while we were meeting. Although it's pretty similar to what you have seen before. They are hoping that we can have that looked at by the individual boards in the next week or 2 and blessed so that they can begin using that as they talk to people. Let's see. I will kind of wrap it up.
I would actually, if we're about to vote on this, I'd like a chance to actually read it.
Sure.
So is there any chance we could just agree to read it and talk about it next Wednesday?
The challenge is next Wednesday is the road tour.
Okay.
But I was going to put, not that you'd want this necessarily for your full discussion, but I was going to put it on not just the UCC, but legislative issues just to discuss with department heads Tuesday. So that'd be kind of a time to have at least an initial gauge of, and you could send me any comments that you have before that, and I could kind of gather them. And I'd probably put it on informal for next Thursday.
Yeah, that's fine.
That would be enough. I think that'd be enough of an indication for Gary and Larry, and then you could vote the next week.
Yeah, Gary and Larry don't need. We spent a little bit of time at our joint meeting doing some wordsmithing, which is not their issue, frankly. They want to just know, is anybody using their veto power on something? If your issue is just that I don't like the way this sounds, they figure they can work that out. It's really just, are you okay in principle with the idea?
And they did take our decategorization program language and kind of use that. I mean, there was consensus among the those on the committee anyway to elevate that to one of our issues. And the language is, if you just look at number of words used, it's a little out of balance with like some bigger items, but you know, like MHDS funding and the property tax backfill. I mean, those have been things that we've talked about before that have been covered, and it was kind of the consensus of the group that this requires a little bit more explanation, and
because it's new,
it's
new, and legislators may not be as familiar with it. And
we're only through year one, and there are already a number of legislators talking about, well, why are we paying all this money to the cities and counties? I mean, they just did it. So the idea that the backfill is going to last very long is...
Well, it's going to be frozen. Backfill's going to be frozen first. And then when there's a dip in the state income, then everyone's going to say, everyone has to help out. And they'll look to this fund. Absolutely. And the funds are going to dip. I mean, their projections are way off from what land values are.
They've already said that today. Yeah. Today's news, they're talking about the Revenue Adjustment Committee.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're up 6% on their estimates, and they're bringing in one. I mean, that's pretty easy math. I still think they'll live up to the backfill.
We're to read this with a fine-tooth comb. If it's wordsmithing, just make a note of it. We'll talk about it next Thursday in formal if we all nod our heads.
Yep. I mean, I think there's always been that one issue with the MHDS that it's kind of been a 3-2 kind of decision at this point. But other than that, at least in the past.
And the thought also is that the third page that's additional issues, that's not necessarily something that gets handed out, but those are items that we're interested in, and our lobbyists are sort of pre-authorized to discuss or take positions on or whatever.
There's one I would like to add to that, and that's part of that discussion about a dry facility or wet facility, what you want to call it, for drunks and so forth, where they go in and sober up. You know, talking with Lonnie and Janet about that. You know, the idea right now is that if they allow or put up a place where individuals can go to sober up and try to get counseling and assistance, that they can walk out and they're arrested. Well, the idea is you don't want them arrested. And Steve and Lonnie both say they would just as soon have a law change where they could actually keep them there for X number of days or something to try to get them some assistance. I would like to see that. At least try to do that. If it doesn't go, it doesn't go.
That clearly needs to be on our own legislative priorities. But Polk County is already discussing this item. Mecca, I'm sorry, whatever we call that, Prelude. So when we did our site visit, who was with me?
Me.
You. So Prelude said that Polk County is already discussing this. I'm not clear the other counties, this is as big an issue. It clearly needs to be on our county legislative priorities, but I don't know if it's an Urban County issue. I mean, we can just keep them informed.
Well, and we can write it up, and you know, I did that with some of our issues that, you know, let them know what we were doing. and if they wanted it listed,
well,
even as an additional issue.
Right, and that, I think there's value in that, because as Darren was pointing out, we run into these logistical problems. You know, all of a sudden it's, you know, February 1st, and Gary calls and he says, hey, they're talking about X, what do you guys think? Well, we just met, and we don't meet again for another week. You know, and you, I mean, it becomes
to the board.
Yeah, you got to take it to your board, and then, I mean, by the time everybody does that, it can be really problematic for them sometimes weighing in. So if there's something like that where we don't have any objection, we ought to go ahead and put it on that, what Darren was calling, pre-approved list.
Is that what it means here?
Additional issues.
Suggestions by counties?
Well,
actually, the additional
issues. Additional issues.
The additional issues, everybody's like, everybody, all their boards have said this is okay.
Sure.
We're not going to tell them to go bring it up. But then if it does come up, like if Polk County, you know, has Pat's issue as a top issue and they're bringing it up and all of a sudden there's a bill, we might as well weigh in favor.
So I'm not clear because whether or not they want a legislative fix, but they're considering that facility.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, after they wake up, they're free to leave anyway if they've sobered up. But if they leave while they're still drunk, the hammer is they'll be arrested for public intox. So, you know, where Lonnie used to have objections to a drying out facility, he no longer appears to have them because of how it's operating in other parts of the country. So what we heard is Polk County is interested in that facility. That didn't mean they were pursuing a legislative fix.
I think we should be interested, too, and tie that to a legislative fix if possible.
What's the legislative fix?
That they could be detained.
That they could be detained for X number of
for
hours.
For X number of hours.
3 days or whatever.
Without being arrested.
Not 3 days.
Yeah, maybe
but,
3 days.
Because you can't even be detained that long for mental health.
Well, that is interesting how the conversation came of, we'll let you in, but if you leave,
you'll be arrested.
Be arrested for public
intox. Public intox.
I thought that was quite
a lot of people would just soon go to jail.
You know, but they could be detained for up to 12 hours. I mean, there could be a legislative thing. That doesn't mean you're arrested. That just means you're
detained. Typically want them out at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Detained until it's over.
Before
now.
Breakfast starts is kind of the idea, so that it doesn't become
Well, and what he said, I thought you would serve them breakfast and treatment options, and he's like, we don't even want to serve them breakfast.
You wouldn't want that.
We don't want them to want to be there.
Yeah.
One that Lonnie and Steve Nellagel talks about, they do give them breakfast and talk to them.
Yeah, so
that's in Texas. But
it's worth letting everyone else know we're starting to talk about it. While we're on our own legislative delegation, we decided we were just going to invite them to a Wednesday, right? Did we pick a date?
We did not. I was going to talk to you about that. and just see if one of the early December Wednesdays would be all right, the 2nd or the 9th.
Starting as early as 7:30, right?
Yeah.
Although last year they didn't take that early morning thing.
The last one that we did, Senators Bolcom and Dvorsky specifically asked for 10 o'clock.
So
on the 9th, we might run into problems. That's our tentative call with GSA.
What
at 9?
What day are we talking about here?
Well, I was just going to offer them the Wednesday work sessions.
Might even be better than
of December
work session at 10.
As early as 7:30. I mean, at one time they requested 7:30. I don't care. I can do either one of them at 7:30. But I probably don't want to go 7:30 to 4:30 if we, you know, just shift the day.
Pat's right, that GSA call might complicate things a little.
Actually,
bit.
Like I said, you could actually start the work session at 10 a.m. with the legislators.
Yeah, if they prefer 10,
yeah.
I'm fine. Just let them pick a time.
That way the...
And the 16th, too, wouldn't matter.
That's available. Sure.
But the facilities group could then get together with GSA at 9.
Yeah.
Okay, I will poll them about that and check about their availability.
All right. Anything else on legislative issues? Internal processes.
I printed these off. You've got one in your box, too.
two, but one thing I just wanted to cover, and I got another one if you need it. So this is the joint meeting agenda. And so I just thought if we wanted to assign. So Iowa City did put the minimum wage ordinance on, but if somebody wanted to, and I did send you an email with the summary of the committee that we talked about, if somebody wanted to be ready to talk about that in that discussion, I'll handle the Regional Affordable Housing Group, at least getting it started, and then we had disproportionate minority contact and participation of the university.
I can take number 7 because I kind of I'm the one that kind of put that on and have a specific thing.
So they put it on the agenda. I think they should lead the discussion.
No, I know. I was just saying to be ready to. I mean, I know any of you could do it, but if somebody wanted to plan to start, not start the discussion, but respond with your plans of the at least the committee. So, and if you don't want to sign that, that's fine. Those are just the things I identified.
At least we'll have, for the county ones, we'll have people assigned to each one of those. We're right. Good.
And okay. Terrence, you're the one who kind of mentioned the university. You want to take that one?
I can, yeah. I mean, I think any of us could just basically say, hey, it'd be nice to...
Do you want to take the...
Be at the table when others are invited.
Wage thing to know?
Yeah, I can do it, but we didn't put it on. And
no, I know.
So
oh,
I'm
yeah,
not
yeah.
volunteering to have a debate about that.
We'll see who they're staring at.
I mean, I can talk about what's in our ordinance and what we've decided to do on the committee,
yeah.
But I'm not going to debate this with them. We didn't put the issue on. It's our ordinance, not theirs. I mean.
Right.
There was actually a listing in the paper whenever they did the last article that said, like, what each community had done. And I think we're down to only, like, University Heights and maybe one other, Tiffin. Or U Heights, Tiffin, and Oxford.
Oxford supposedly talked about it last night, but I was watching baseball, and I don't know
Oxford
what
tabled it, and they are now putting an ordinance together for 725.
They are?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why it was tabled.
Okay. I hadn't heard from any of those places. But it would be maybe nice for us to just for our own purposes to get a chart or something of what everybody's doing.
Yeah.
Update on Regional Affordable Housing Group. Normally, elected officials only speak, but Andy needs to do it. So, Pat? You want to handle it and then call on Andy?
Yeah, we let Andy do the update. Yeah, I can do that.
So Pat and then Andy. Is that it?
That's it.
Andy, do you feel comfortable? Do you need any support in terms of, I know there's been a little bit of an issue getting the group to meet regularly. Do you?
No, I mean, we got the next meeting scheduled. It's the first week in December. So, we're going to do kind of a quarterly
okay.
schedule.
Okay, good.
So,
good.
So, no, that's not a problem.
So, I'm sorry, Andy, to go backwards on you. This minimum wage advisory committee document you would print out so that everyone would have.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You'll still have time to tweak it on Monday when you get back, right?
Right. Or Angie can work on it
okay.
if you have.
Yeah, I think that would be one nice if we could just encourage them to have people from their community volunteer to be on that.
All right, so if you read that document, you have any changes you want made, give them to Angie then, and then that document will be printed out so that everyone can have a copy if they wanted, and I will handle that then. Does
okay.
that sound fair?
Yep.
Okay.
let's see, other internal processes. There is a sympathy card on the desk to sign. Please do that. I had forwarded an email from a resident about his property, and I didn't know if someone was on that.
The one that you attached Andy's comments to?
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of reiterated that and sent them to him.
you contacted
him? I just told him to contact his attorney the state DOT.
Okay. I didn't want to get on the substance. I just wanted to make sure that it was...
I just recommend you contact him. That county was not...
And there was that other situation where Kate wrote something out. Did that get...
I've not followed up on that yet.
I think... Didn't we say we were going to send that to that gentleman or...
Polling people.
Okay.
I think that's what I have.
Anything other? Discussion from the public?
Wait, I have a comment.
You under other?
There is no discussion from the public on here.
Oh,
so it's right, because I think we ended up with a divided agenda. Can you just make a note of that?
Yep.
That we didn't mean to exclude this mass here.
Right. We had it on the morning session. So. And... Wait a minute. It was before the closed session, wasn't it?
No, it just says other. Oh, discussion from the public. My bad.
When we have a closed session, she puts it before the closed session.
Yeah, that makes sense. My bad. Sorry about that.
Okay.
All right. Anything further? We're adjourned.